The following podcast may contain spoilers, strong language, graphic violence, and nudity. Viewer discretion is advised.
Antifreeze. Four guys and a movie. Four guys and a movie. Don't I, Brian Robbins, you're reviewing movies for the show. Four guys and a movie.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the 4AM podcast, the movie podcast for dorks. I'm your host this week, Rob, and I am joined by my friends, who will name themselves now.
Brian.
And Joe.
Oh, that's right! It's Tony!
Shouldn't you, like, wait till the music gets going before you...
I didn't want to take all day.
It just sounded like some sad dude in a bathroom.
It's Tony.
So, if he reached that point to where the music like kicked up, he would have torn his shirt off, and nobody wants to see that.
Yeah.
I am a real American. So, this week, as we continue to get pummeled into the ground by William's sponsorship, this is some real tough love, guys, just so you know. We watched Suburban Commando from 1991?
Yes.
Yeah, hey.
10 years back from our last movie.
Great. Joe?
Yeah?
Have you ever been frozen today before?
I have, several times.
Okay.
So, I think when I was 11, I think I wanted to like this movie because I liked Hulk Hogan, and I think I only really... Well, I mean... I was a kid. Hulk Hogan was cool at the time. I think I was more souped up because, like, everyone I knew liked the Ultimate Warrior better. And I was, like, the only Hulk Hogan guy. I was like, everything Hulk does is cool. Okay. I was a foolish 11-year-old.
Well, we were all foolish. Tony, you ever been frozen today before?
I have, once or twice. You know, this movie has made the rounds in a couple different circles. And my tendency to watch... Frickin' everything. I've seen this a few times, but I wasn't particularly a big Hulk Hogan fan, so that wasn't a big draw for me.
Brian, you ever been frozen a day before?
Yeah, I've seen this movie before. It's I remember liking it as a kid, but like watching it today, I don't know if I did like it as a kid, if it was just on TV and I watched it because it was Hulk Hogan. You know what I mean? Like,
I think you lied to yourself as a kid, saying that you liked it.
Yeah.
Like, but, you just kept reassuring yourself that you liked it.
I mean, it does have that.
I watched it every time it was on TV. I watched it, so I've seen it like a bunch, but like, yeah.
I feel like I reacted to this the same way I reacted to, like, The Phantom Menace, where you come out, like, the first time you see it, you're like, that had to have been good. Like, it has to be good. I have to like it.
It's watchable. Like, things happen and keeps you kind of entertained.
First time I saw Phantom Menace, I was so amped up because it ends with Darth Maul.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, so the high point is the fight. So it's like, you're amped up. Then I saw it again, and I was like, I wasn't as amped up anymore. And I saw it a third time, and I was like, I don't like this.
Yeah.
It's like, you know.
One scene can't hold a whole movie. Right.
Yeah. It's like, you know, the stages of dealing with, you know, with tragedy and loss. You know, your first time you're in denial, you're like, no, that was a good movie. And then, you know, it moves on from there. Finally, by like three or four times, acceptance has kicked in, and you're like, that was a really bad movie.
How come most of the Star Wars community hasn't grown to acceptance yet?
Because they're firmly locked in denial.
They circled back.
No, they also have never, like, they never knew the love of the original three. And, you know, a lot of them were introduced to, like, Star Wars from the prequels. And I find those people tend to enjoy the movies a lot more.
And let's also not forget, you know, everybody has their own tastes and then entitled to their own opinion. So some people might enjoy it more than others. It's fine.
But yeah, I did find
Where's it Tony? What have you done with him?
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone's entitled to their opinion.
Yeah. That it was crazy that people were citing the prequels as some sort of evidence to use against, like, the latest batch of movies.
Hmm.
And I'm like, don't mention anything with the prequels about anything with Star Wars and good, ever.
Yeah.
Anyway, the answer to the question nobody asked.
Those are movies that aren't this one.
Yeah, it's a whole can of worms we don't need to get into right now.
That's not the only time we're going to be talking about Star Wars this podcast.
I've probably seen this movie before. I don't remember it at all. Like, I know I've seen clips of this movie, because, you know...
You were frozen today?
Well, yeah, I just, you know, I have a friend group that just lives off of meme posting, so I'm sure I've seen clips of it. But I don't remember really the movie. It does fit that criteria when you're young. It's like, it's got noises and colors. Sit down and watch it. It's on TV.
Large so man's totally, making faces.
Yeah, so I can totally see how any one of us would kind of, you know, have a fondness for it. But, yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen it before. Tony!
Yeah.
You got some history on this film?
I do. So, yeah, as you mentioned, came out in 1991. Directed by Burt Kennedy, who he's like an old time director. Apparently, he directed movies like The Money Trap, War Wago, The Devil's Backbone.
War Wago?
Yeah. Oh, maybe that was supposed to be Wagon. I
okay.
I might have left. Yeah, I might have left something off there. That's my bad. But like movies that came out, mostly movies that came out in like the early 70s or before. Also, this movie was originally intended to star Danny DeVito and Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Oh,
who, of course, then decided to do twins instead. So they kind of changed it up a bit. I guess in the original version of this, it was just a soldier who failed at a mission and had to, you know, go into hiding. And the whole space plot had nothing to do with this.
I could have used, like, John Matrix himself, like, being forced to take a vacation. And, you know, he rents an apartment from Danny DeVito.
That'd be interesting. This movie was also, not only did it have Hogan, I'm sure we'll get into how The Undertaker is in this, on the word of Vince McMahon, who was hoping to get another no-holds-barred-style action with Zeus that he was trying for with Zeus, where...
So well the first time.
Well, yeah, the problem was the first time it was Hogan fighting this big movie villain, but the movie villain was an actor and didn't know how to wrestle, so he'd get someone who was an actual wrestler to be an actor, and then it would work out beautifully, but right. Of course...
Because it's worked out so well with Hulk Hogan himself.
Yeah. Well, of course, by the time we actually got to the point where Undertaker was unveiled, they abandoned the whole thing and just never talked about it. So, yeah, that was totally worthwhile. This movie also apparently, you know, might have had some money struggles, so they reused a lot of props, which obviously the PKA meter from Ghostbusters is there.
Yeah.
A lot of the guns were from previous episode Masters of the Universe.
Great.
Yeah. And some of the singing was from Hulk Hogan himself.
Yeah, it was.
Yep.
I noticed that.
Yeah.
Sure was.
Unfortunately, a special effects technician actually died on the set testing out one of the trap doors. So, yeah, there's that.
From an accident?
Yes.
We just assumed it was suicide.
What was that, Brian?
This movie has a body? Oh, man.
Yeah,
it joins the esteemed ranks of Gone Fishing as movies we've reviewed that have a kill count.
Sadly, yeah.
It has a couple of crossovers with Gone Fishing.
Yeah. I believe technically Transformers as well.
Yeah.
Because they reused one of the shots from the island. But anyway, this movie also had a video game that was released in 1993 based on this movie.
Really?
Probably an LJN craft fest.
Probably. Quest. I didn't look it up anymore, but yeah. I can't imagine it's any. And of course, Hulk Hogan has said that so many little Hulkamaniacs want a sequel to this that he would gladly do it if asked, but he will not put up any money to make it happen.
Yeah, I don't put too much stock in what Hulk Hogan says these days.
Well, yeah, that quote was from a while ago, I'm sure. I don't think anyone's asking for anything from him right now. I want to guess at the budget this movie had.
I'm going to guess. It had Chris Lloyd in it. I'm going to guess $5 million.
Shit, I was going to say that. $6 million.
I'm going to raise it. I'm going to say $16 million.
little too high there, Rob. It was $11 million.
All right.
Want to guess how much it made?
I'm going to guess $7
million. $12.5 million.
Going back to 16.
Brian was right. It was $7 million. So, yeah, not a commercial success.
Wow, I can't imagine why, though.
I mean, it has a star-studded cast.
It has a Star Wars in it.
It's
just got Star Wars in it.
Yeah.
Well, actually, it's more like Space Mutiny, but it's in there. It's in there.
Yeah.
So, who all is are we spending this? Was it $11 million on?
I mean, I set up a segue. You just let it hang there and stuff. I'm saying, like,
so we bought us a Hulk Hogan as Shep Ramsey. Mm-hmm. Christopher Lloyd as Charlie Wilcox, Shelley Duvall as Jenny Wilcox, Larry Miller as Adrian Belts, and William Ball as General Suter.
Yep. Okay. Anything anybody has to say about that before we move on?
Undertaker.
Yeah, poor Mark Calloway was forced into. As far as I know, his only movie role is Suburban Commando.
I believe
the
so.
Other guy that was a the bounty hunter. He's been a bunch of shit too.
Yeah, but yeah, I forgot his name. I know his character's name was Knuckles. Not that they tell you that at any point.
Yeah. So what?
For that matter, the little girl with the cat in the tree apparently was Elizabeth Moss.
Okay.
All right. I don't know who that is, but all right, cool.
The Invisible Man that just came out.
Oh, well.
Oh, you saw it?
Yeah.
All right.
I might be the only one here that saw it, but like, she is a known actress. She's the star of that Handmaid's Tale. It's kind of a big thing.
I never saw it.
It's not really our demographic.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure a lot of those goons that were working on the dragsters were alums from No Holds Barred. Some of those guys look like regulars in the battle.
Blue Collar Comedy Tour.
Oh, yeah. That lead fat guy is in a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
But, like, he's usually not a big part like he is here, so I just skipped over it.
All right, so let's get this started. So, would you guys say that this movie starts with a Star Wars ripoff or an homage?
I would go back to my previous comment and say it starts with a Space Mutiny ripoff.
A Critters ripoff?
The Bounty Hunters are Critters ripoffs, I would say.
Yeah. Space Mutiny, I guess, technically, does it rip off Star Wars? I know it rips off Battlestar Galactica. I forget.
It's just bad. It's poorly made and bad.
No, but I mean, Space Mutiny actually has footage from Battlestar Galactica in it.
it actually uses the footage from Battlestar Galactica, so that's a whole different animal.
Like, the ship that the mutiny is happening on is Galactica.
Yeah.
So, like, this is like if Star Wars was made in some, like, dark Chinese factory somewhere.
But, yeah, it's a straight-up space battle where you get the overhead view of the ship flying over, just like Episode 4. Again, I can't tell if they were just ripping it off or paying homage.
I would hope ripping them off because they're paying homage. See, that's
a little bit from column A, a little from column B, you know.
Because this movie so badly wants to be like a satire or a comedy, but like it's done with all the subtlety of, I don't know, like Taco Bell farts.
Of getting run over by a giant spaceship.
Yeah, of that.
All right. So
I feel like this movie takes itself too seriously.
Ooh.
And yet not seriously enough.
You know what I mean? Like it didn't try to be all that funny, but it didn't, because it was trying to be a little bit more. More than
Are you sure? Yeah. Or was it trying to be funny and it just was not landing at all?
Some of those comedy montages of him walking around town were trying way too hard.
If I can jump ahead for a moment, I think it's best, the best example of where this movie lies is shortly from what we're talking about. Hulk Hogan is in this spaceship and he's fighting some guys. And he clearly, like, he gets into an elevator and he's, you know, like, going up. And then he gets on the top of the elevator and he's, like, going down. And if you watch his mouth, he clearly said it with, like, a lot of anger and, like, to be threatening. But they ADR'd it over where he sounds a lot more gentle. And I think that's kind of what we're dealing with for this whole fucking movie. Like, we can't decide where we want to be, if it's going to be action-based or comedy based, and we kind of settle on this gross middle ground that doesn't work for anybody.
Yeah.
All right. So we meet General Suter, and he has kidnapped the president of space. And he's just like, yo, I'm evil. President of space is like, you won't get away with this. And then Ramsey shows up, and he's sucks. He's got his, he's wearing like a gray sweatsuit, and then he's got like some bionic armor over it, a bionic codpiece, and he's fighting Suter's goons who all look like really tame metalheads, like they, with like well-groomed ponytails.
I will say, also on the Star Wars prequel thing, he does have a Padawan rat tail.
He does, yeah. Hidden in there. So he just, he's beating these people up at first. Then he does the friggin' elevator cliche where he lures them in the elevator, then cuts the cord, and so that the elevator crashes down, which doesn't happen. It's a space elevator, who knows? But I hate that cliche. And then the wire goes up, so now he just shows up on the bridge, and like Suter's goons just beat him up. Like, shit kind of sucks. Like,
yep.
And then he gets up like he's going to fight out of it, and then more goons just beat him up. So
also, at this point in the movie, I thought his name is Chef Ramsay. And I'm like, what? That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, so, also, his real name is Shep, like the fucking Three Stooges. Like, what the fuck?
And this movie is just, this whole scene, you're just like, okay, movie. Because the president of space pulls out just a metal card? Like,
was it metal? I thought it was an envelope.
Yeah, it looked like an envelope.
No idea.
Fucking throws that at Suter, cuts his hand off, just severs his hand with his fucking
It had leg. His suicide note in it.
How sharp was this piece of metal? Like, if it's cutting through hands like that, like, what is he keeping it in his pocket? But anyway.
Well, that's how you wonder if it is, in fact, a Star Wars.
Yeah.
Hands are just flying off left and right.
So Suter, his eyes start glowing green, he grows a lizard hand, and he kills the president of space. And Shep just failed. He didn't save the guy. So then,
Hold on.
Yes, it was Frank Walker.
I didn't feel like he actually killed the guy. I feel like Shep just ran away before. What happened to him?
Yeah, cut his hand off and run.
He did not kill the president of space. He was just like, I'm a monster now. Yeah. And Shep just says, well, fuck it, I'm out. And just blows the thing up.
Yeah.
Shep is just as responsible for his death as this other guy is.
My job is done here.
Well, Shep realized he's like, these guys are just kicking my ass. So he, like, shoots out of there, like, on his rocket boots. So he's really just rolling through a set on a skateboard. And he's putting up bombs like this is fucking The Expendables. And his stupid sticky bombs are little tiny, like, half of hand grenades. I don't know why. But he gets to an escape pod, and he's controlling the escape pod by mashing on a, like, on-off toggle switch to get it to, like, stabilize. I guess that's the autopilot. I don't know. But, you know, so now, like, the big alien ship blows up from all the bombs he set on it in some special effects. Like, you know, Star Wars, which is trying to rip off, which is, well, at this point, 14 years this movie's senior, still has way better special effects of things blowing up.
Well, I've noticed when things blow up in this movie, it's just an explosion. There's nothing actually there blowing up.
Yeah, the explosion is layered over.
It is just a fireball.
Yeah.
Although I will say, I don't know about you guys, but I very much appreciate the miniatures over some horrible CGI shit.
Yes.
Sure. Horrible miniatures instead of horrible CGI shit.
Oh, yeah. I'll take this over, like, all that shit in Anaconda or what other crap we watched with the bad CGI. Like, I'll take this.
But, like, just, I mean, I guess that miniature was expensive and someone wanted it, but I would just fucking put a firecracker in the miniature and blow it up would look better than what they did.
Well, like, but they couldn't America afford style. That. Yeah, they could not afford that.
$11 million budget, guys. Come on.
Yeah.
They couldn't afford the firecrackers, let alone a new model.
Yeah. So, like, whoever, like, Shep's boss is calls, and he's, Shep's like, all right, give me another mission. And the boss is like, yeah, you kind of suck. Like,
I appreciate that he called him out. I do.
Yeah, he's like, the old chef wouldn't have let the president of space die.
You know what I didn't appreciate?
What's that?
The aliens reference.
Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Not okay.
I missed it.
He wanted a bug hunt with creatures with acid for blood.
Yeah.
Although I would have paid anything to see that Hulk Hogan face off against a bunch of xenomorphs.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they would have cracked his head open like an egg.
Well, I think I'd like to see him give one a suplex or a boot to the face and then drop the leg on it, and then the rest of them just tear him up.
Yes.
So, so he punches the spaceship so hard that he damages the power core. And then the boss is like, well, looks like you got to take a vacation and you got to charge your power cell to 0.1%, which is going to take 6 weeks. Because I guess charging a power cell to less voltage, like, takes longer. I don't know. He's like, fuck, I got to go to Earth. Whatever.
There's like notes in the side of the script. And when it says like technical stuff, it just, there's a footnote that says, see Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
So now some awful music's playing with Hulk Hogan joining in on the vocals.
Oh my God.
Music in this movie is worse than the Three Ninjas. Not Three Ninjas. The Mr. Nanny music, and that music was terrible.
Does Hulk Hogan, like, legit have, like, a Franklin-style hand puppet that he's singing to in this movie?
Yeah.
These were tracks
watch that, but I'd be afraid he would drop the N-word.
It's not easy being white.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
If you give him the safety of doing it behind a black puppet, he for sure would.
So, these were tracks that just didn't make it to the Pile Driver album. And now we meet Christopher Lloyd, who, his thing is he plays it too safe. He doesn't take enough risks. Womp womp. So his wife's like, yo, ask for a raise. We don't make enough money. And he's like, it's not that simple. You know, if I ask too soon, I'll fuck it up. And then his wife, played by Shelley Duvall, just puts him in a chokehold
until
he taps and is like, ask for the raise. Oh. It's like how it reminded me of the old SNL sketches where, Janet Reno would get Bill Clinton to do various policies by putting him in a chokehold.
It's Reno time.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, she's like, I've been taking classes ever since that shit with Kubrick. I'm not letting that happen again. Yeah. I'm ready for your ass.
So now we see he goes to work, and we meet his weird-ass boss.
Not that you can hear anything, because this freaking soundtrack is playing super loud, like, over the dialogue.
Yeah, and the boss, when I saw him, I never thought I would say, I miss Brell. Like, I want some Kurt Fuller. But I want some Kurt Fuller, because,
If it's Kurt Fuller versus Larry Miller, you're like, give me that Fuller.
Yeah. So,
give me that Fuller.
Yeah, the boss, like, he shows him the new blueprints that he made that he spent all weekend on. His boss, like, is like, these are adequate, and then makes orgasm sounds. Like, I don't know his level of enjoyment of these blueprints or not.
Well, this is where I decided that this movie's actually a test. If you start laughing at the jokes, that's how you know you're an idiot.
Mm-hmm. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's.
All right.
Yeah.
That's the test, apparently. So the boss is getting super touchy-feely with Charlie Wilcox here. And then, like, basically just forces him out of the office before, Charlie here can even get to ask for the raise.
Oh, but not before before doing that, he, of course, has to show him that he has just fucking magical crystals for some reason, I guess.
Well, he's awarded with a magical crystal every time Charlie does something awesome that he takes the credit for.
Yeah, whatever the fuck that's about.
Who's giving out these crystals?
I don't know.
And are they charged?
Some kind of transformer, maybe. Like, these are like spent energon cubes.
It's transformer poop.
Yeah.
It's crystallized ejaculate.
Yeah. So he opens the door to push Charlie out, and there's a Japanese delegation investor there, which he immediately greets with some casual racism. Just, no biggie. And
you want casual racism, you want Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that would be more just straight up overt racism.
He was pretty casual about it.
This is also the closest to a laugh that I got was their response of, like, I can tell I'm going to hate this guy. And then she's like, oh, he says he's happy to meet you. And he's just like, coward.
So
that's all right.
Now, Shep lands his spaceship through the roof of a nightclub that appears to be abandoned.
But yeah, I think it was abandoned.
Yeah.
When he lands inside, though, he walks over to the master switch on the wall, and that controls the entirety of the funk. Because when he throws it, like, the music's pumping, there's lights play, like, going off, and, like, the club's in full swing. So I didn't realize nightclubs, you just shut one switch off when close them.
Joe, if you don't know, when stores close, bars, whatever, when they're permanently shut down, they don't bother turning every individual thing off. Yeah. They just hit one switch and it's all gone.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Yeah.
They just play that closing time song, shut the switch, and go home.
Yeah.
The funk's over, and that's it. So
No. See, what happened was the building couldn't pay its rent and its funds, so they had a fundraiser, but the fundraiser failed. So the bank walked in and goes, "You're evicted," and hit the switch, and never walked
yeah,
out.
Yeah, that was it. Yeah.
And then the containment unit exploded.
Yeah, that's when the ghosts started coming out.
That's where they got the PKE meter.
Yeah.
So, all right. So now we get this running gag that is not funny at all, where Christopher Lloyd, there's this red light that changes green, and then the next block over, there's a light that's green that'll always turn red, which, you know, there are lights designed like that, which sucks.
Yeah.
But Christopher Lloyd always tries to gun it in his, he's got, a Festiva or something. I forget what car type this is. But he guns it over there, and then he stops at the red light, but everybody else drives around him. And then he has to reverse back to, the line. And I'm like, just go through. Like, it's not a big deal, but he can't take that risk.
Well, not just that, but the amount he drives back, he was well past that light. Just fucking go. Just
You're actually more of a danger now, backing up.
Yeah.
It was like, he was the front car. So, mm-hmm. they would get the last cars if the cops were there.
You'd think. So. Yeah,
so, this fuck makes the work fucking finally.
And it's just it's bad. It's dumb. It's not a good time.
Yeah. Well, now we get Hulk Hogan, just jaunting down the street in his full robot gear.
Yeah, so it's basically I call it the Kids Bop version of Terminator, where Hulk Hogan is, wandering down the street like a robot, just solving crimes and helping folks in need, and holy crap, Joe just threw a soda bottle at somebody.
I mean, they were thirsty.
And he's gone.
It's weird because everyone's you don't get out much, do you? What the fuck? It probably is the 80s when this movie was made.
And California. It's he looks like every fourth person walking down the street, probably.
Yeah. Oh my god, did you see that guy?
So he finds an apartment for rent poster with no address, no phone number.
Oh yeah! I love it! He rips it down as though he couldn't read the one line.
It's like a video game quest where it just gave him a waypoint that he had to follow.
But he carries it around with him as though the arrow is going to help him find where it is.
It comes up. Well, once he accepts the quest, it goes onto his heads-up display.
Oh, what's that?
Did you guys talk about the man-dog pickup truck interaction?
No. I mean, we talked about a series of unfortunate events that...
All right, so basically
It was dumb.
A guy left a dog in a pickup truck while it was really hot. So Hulk stole his clothes, locked him in the pickup truck, put the dog where the guy was eating at the restaurant, and I guess just stripped down there and dressed in his clothes and stripped that man down, and nobody cared. As you do. So, luckily he has good timing because it saves us from a Christopher Lloyd, Shelley Long sex scene, which...
So, Shelley Long? This is Shelley Duvall.
Or Shelley Duvall. Shelley Duvall is wearing a wig and...
I guess a sexy, we'll use that word, a sexy time outfit.
Yeah.
My bad.
I'm like, Christopher Lloyd, you better opt out.
What's wrong, Ryan?
Oh, no. I'm playing the movie in the background as we record, but I unmute it for a minute so the sound came on.
Oh, okay. You're like, I want to hear these two bang.
I mean, I do. I'm a perv.
No, you don't. So, first of all, Christopher Lloyd and Shelley Duvall having sex would probably sound like two hamsters in a tin can being put in a paint shaker.
I was frozen today.
No, he would just keep saying, call me Popeye, call me Popeye.
Oh, Popeye.
Yeah. Again, I'm just hearing her screaming like in The Shining, and it's not good.
Ooh, make sure you take all of me spinach.
So, yeah. At this point, he's like, I'm not in the mood. I'm going to go out to the garage and bang things with a hammer.
My body can't finish. I'm too full of spinach.
Please don't remind me of that movie.
Oh, that's on the list, I think.
I caught a few scenes of it recently. It's so much worse than I remember.
It's just the most boring thing that ever happened ever.
It's so goddamn bad. But anyway, so yeah, he goes out to the garage and Shelley Duvall's like, oh, I turned your whole workshop into a rentable apartment in like 8 hours.
Yeah, this would have made me
so fucking mad.
So yeah. It made him real mad. It made him so mad that he called her Shelley instead of Jenny, her character. I watched it twice to make sure.
So Ramsey shows up and he's like, I'm renting the apartment. No he's money's like, exchanged.
It's raw. You're going to kill somebody.
Yeah. Can I just say, though, I want to hire her to help me with my apartment because she got that place looking real good real fast.
Yeah, she shoved it all in the closet.
She didn't just shove, but, like, you see it in the opening.
The walls like, are different colors,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, she painted it, she cleaned it, yeah, she furnished it, like, all in, like you said, his time at work, so maybe 8 hours? That's damn good work.
So, fucking, like, Hulk shows up, he's like, I'm from France, and, he, like, he's in the apartment, so we get, like, a little caper where Charlie's sneaking over to go peer in the window and see what's up with this giant goon who's just rented his apartment. And he sees him pulling out ray guns, and then, like...
Super jealous of that guy's Nerf collection, apparently.
Yeah, and then Shep sneaks off somewhere, so now Charlie comes in, he's like, I'm playing with those ray guns. And he fucking turns one on, shoots the whoop, fires his laser through a lamp, through the wall... outside into the street, and he blows up a fucking drag racer.
Nothing so like, can withstand a quad laser.
Yeah.
The drag racers and race cars out front is a running gag throughout the movie, I guess.
Yeah.
For a little bit. But there's no payoff from this.
Nope.
Like, he blows up, like, a car, and there's no one comes by, no one's angry about it, no nothing.
They are working on that car the next day, but, like, no one's just like, oh, the car fucking blew up.
Yeah. But it's also like, what did you think was going to happen? Like, because I would love, you know, if he had just faced the other wall, he would be looking at one of his dead kids right now. Mm. And he had no regard for that shit.
In all fairness, in the 80s, that looks like a fucking kid's toy gun. Like,
yeah. It does.
So, well, he could have thought it really was a toy.
Or he was like, I remember this.
You should play with it, you know?
Like, this was in Masters of the Universe.
That's how Scott got his head blown off in Beverly Hills, all right?
So it would have been more funny if there was a setting for, like, just blending those guns in with, like, with low-tech worlds where it did just turn them into toys so they made, like, the little ray gun noises and now Charlie's just like, this man just came in and put 5 toy ray guns under his mattress.
Yeah.
What the hell?
They just look like vibrators.
Yeah.
I was thinking they just look like that cheap ass you could see through it water gun.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So now, so he blows up the car and then he goes and decides he's he's not following Shep yet. He just sneaks back in the house. All right, so now, but because the laser was turned on, you see that there's some other, like, evil guy, you never get named, and he hires the Undertaker and another dude to go hunt down this power source. And they get into their weird-looking, like, scared beetle ship and fly off. And it cuts to the next day where Hulk's just walking around outside. And, he's powerlifting a drill press. And then, Christopher Lloyd's going to tell him to like, get out. And, the kids are like, Dad, come on, we got to go to school. And so
these kids are pointless.
Yeah,
they might as well not even watch the
movie. I like the movie acknowledges that, and it's just like, fuck it. Because the kids are always useless in these movies.
Like, but the only reason the kids are there is so that Hulk Hogan could lift them up in that first scene.
Yeah.
But they didn't even bother to, like, not show the harness on the kid's back.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing, guys?
All right, so now he hears a scream, and it's Shelley Duvall just screaming because she's watching someone, you know, on TV who recommends that that's what she does. So then, like, he comes in and, like, you know, tackles her, drags her behind the couch. She's got a kitchen knife. Then she, like, goes outside because he's fucking attacking the mailman who's shoving letters in the house now. Pulls this dude's arm through the damn mail slot. Then, like, that guy runs away. And the paper boy at this point decides to just throw a newspaper at Hulk Hogan. It was like, bullseye! And I like how...
I gotta be honest.
What's that?
This was probably one of my favorite scenes in the movie.
Yeah, yeah. His response to this, like, this is how the limited way you can use Hulk Hogan. This is a perfect execution of it. Because, like, this little shit throws a newspaper at him, and he makes a good Hulk Hogan face and just heaves this paper back at the kid. And the kid's in a fucking bush, like the actual game paper boy. Like, this is a hazard that you'd have to look out for.
This whole sequence.
Also, kid.
For me, this whole sequence is, like, some bullshit. Because, like, one, he's smart enough to, like, have a spaceship and, like, travel the galaxy, yada, yada, yada. He's been to Earth before because he knows how he hates Earthlings, all this bullshit. But these, like, minor things that happen that could happen on any fucking planet. People get mail on any fucking planet. You know what I mean? Like, this so confuses him that he thinks everyone's trying to kill him. It's a weird sequence. Like, he's too serious. And it isn't until the kid hits him with the paper where, like, he leans into, like, how ridiculous it is, and you get to get his face. But up to that point, like, he's just like, it was too much for me.
I don't know what the mail is, but I know what France is. Like, what? Yeah,
like, what?
Here's how I dealt with this situation. Seeing him on this rampage, I thought to myself, oh man, old Chris Lloyd's gonna have to come over and of mice and men this guy. And then I started thinking, yeah, what if I just looked at him as sort of a Lenny character? And then, you know, everything started making a lot more sense.
That's been your coping strategy for all the movies William has had us watch so far.
That's been my coping strategy for most of my life at this point.
Yeah, and everything Hulk Hogan has done. I will say, but that's the thing. That's where I think they should have been, is lean into Hulk Hogan as this warrior, and he's, like, ready to attack at a moment's notice, and that's what he's all about. But instead, they immediately soften him, probably because of him, you know, because the Hulkamaniacs out there don't want to see him be a monster. So they soften him up way too fast and make him kid-friendly, and then it's dumb.
Well, I mean, he was one of the executive producers for the movie, too, so he was the one calling the shots, but...
Yeah.
But, like, he has no real kid interaction that would make him soften up. You know what I mean? The kids don't teach him anything.
Yep.
This isn't even really, like, a kid movie.
But that's the thing. They can't decide if it should... They want to make it kid-friendly, but it's not exactly a kid movie. And that's where we run into problems.
I would say it's not a movie with kids in it, but this is definitely a for kids movie.
It was a movie made by a person with a child's brain.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not a kid's movie. It's a movie made for immature adults.
Right, so this looks like a movie that was made by children.
So... Let's move forward.
Yeah.
So now Hulk Hogan, you know, he's hanging out outside, and these little shits on skateboards come up, and one of them just smashes his head right into Hulk's crotch.
Yeah.
And then they're like, you know, get on the skateboard, it'll be funny. And, like, Hulk Hogan is a goddamn professional wrestler, and he can't just take a bump off of a skateboard. Like,
it's not as funny as zooming away and showing his feet fly in the air.
Yeah.
Right. Because that's funny,
Hulk Hogan never really took many bumps to begin with, I guess. But it's just like fucking, just fall off the skateboard, dude. But anyway.
You tinkle yourself laughing, Joe?
I got a chuckle when he grabbed the skateboard and just heaved it into space.
I mean.
Only because I like when things get thrown into space, but.
Yeah.
I guess. There's a better scene of that later.
Yeah. So, then fucking Charlie comes home. And, you know, he goes and he, like, he sucks at the stoplight again. He comes home, they're blocking the driveway with the dragster again. So Shep just goes over and picks the dragster up and moves it so that Charlie can get in. And the goons come over and they're like, you know what we're going to do to you if we find one scratch on that? And Shep's like, oh, beat me up, throw my body in a ditch. And they're like, no, we're going to sue you. And we're going to get you for defamation of character and property damage and mental anguish. And they go on a legal rampage on the Hulkster. And he's like, what's wrong with this society? Because this is the time when, like, everyone suing everyone was something we still found funny.
Yep. Ha ha.
And then freaking, I thought this kid was wearing a MAGA hat for a second.
Yo, so did I.
It was from conditioning. But this kid's skating down the street in a red cap with a white text on it. And there's these two surfer guys that just come flying down the street in some sports car with surfboards on the top. And Shep has to run out and, you know, knock the kid out of the way because they're these guys are going, you know, too fast and they're not paying attention. And then he chases the car down. Kills the car. He just, like, he flips it over. And these guys just sit there and they're like, he's flipping our car over. So rather than, like, try to drive away or something, they just let him flip the car over. And then he, like, pulls them out.
In all fairness, Joe. Yeah. In all fairness. If someone tried to flip your car over, you'd be laughing like, this motherfucker can't do it until two tires are off the fucking ground. And then you'd be like, holy fucking shit.
Yeah, but, well, okay, if that car, you know, wasn't four-wheel drive and it, you know, and Hulk was on the side with the wheel that gets the power and he lifted that off the ground. Otherwise, it'd be like, okay, motherfucker, I'm driving forward now. You should probably let go of my car. And then in celebration of his defeat of the car and the saving of the MAGA hat kid, Shelley Duvall, Jenny, that's her name, has cooked him a cake, baked him a cake. And he just, Fat Chat style, bare hands, shoves him in there, just starts eating the cake.
Also, that was the Wilcox kid.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Again, it's not look at it.
Not just some kid, but it almost didn't matter.
Yeah.
Again, look at it in the frame of this dude is a little bit, you know, not all there. And you're
that
like...
That cake was probably trashed, by the way.
Oh, it looked awful. It looked dry as hell.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it looked like a meatloaf.
He pulled a cut piece right out of it. Like, so yeah, it is. He probably could just chop it with his bare hands and it would slice.
It looked like it was styrofoam, just spray painted brown.
So, fucking, now we get the lowest part of this movie. The fucking him walking around doing cheesy gags with his interactions with random people.
Yeah.
He's being followed by Charlie, who brought his camera along this time. And first he's walking through an alley and this guy steals this woman's purse and goes running off. So Shep picks the guy up, brings him back to the woman, gives her back her purse, brings this guy over to the dumpster, gives him a Samoan drop into the dumpster and then closes the door. Like, okay, whatever. Then he walks by a car and the car alarm's like, you're too close. Get away, you know, last warning, alarm going off.
Dylon.
Yeah, it was Dylon. Told him about the top five rappers.
It was Cylon, guys. Yeah. Hey, joke. So, that's better than the medic alert bracelet joke they did.
Yeah, so he reaches in this convertible, pulls out the alarm, and the alarm's like, yo, can we talk about this? And Hulk just crushes it, and it's like, I've fallen, and I can't get up.
And I immediately turned the movie off and said I was done. And then I remembered, oh, somebody paid us money to watch this. So yeah. I had to turn it back on.
Real talk, though, I did take, I think, 3 breaks watching this movie to play some Civ 6 so I could recharge my brain by having to make, like, strategic decisions and stuff.
Is that game good?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, you have to play it, like, one like, match in that game takes, like 8 or 9 hours to play. So you're...
Oh, shit.
Played for a long time, but it's good. Anyway, so then there's a random mime who's just doing this invisible force field thing, and then Hulk's like, oh, you must be stuck in a K7 force field. I'll get you out. apparently Hulk can punch force fields and bring them down. Because he just punches this mime in the face.
If he could throw a fucking skateboard into space, he could punch a force field.
Yeah.
And that force field doesn't exist. Maybe he's just gone around on his own planet punching people in the face.
You can do, like, one mime joke, maybe.
And, I mean, like,
not
if you're brave, Joe. If you're brave, you can do as many as you want.
No, see, Rob, there's a line between bravery and foolishness. And this movie plowed right over that line.
Oh, so much.
I'm trying to think of a good mime joke. I know they exist, but I cannot think of one right now. I think maybe one mime joke you could pull off. But this mime shows up like three more fucking times.
Yeah, I gotta say, I also took some breaks, and I had to take them every time he showed up, because I was just not having it.
That's about how I did it.
Like, the mime was bad enough, but the music that plays when he's on screen, I wanted to hurt myself.
So, now, he goes back to his ship in the abandoned nightclub, finds that it's been charging, as 21 Earth days till it recharges, and he leaves the fucking key to the ship just... The equivalent of leaving it on your tire.
Yeah! It's a goddamn spaceship! Fucking take that shit with you!
Yeah. Now, okay, the key's a ninja star, which is interesting. Like, I wouldn't immediately assume it's a key, but I would also keep the fucking thing near me.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, like, keep it in his infinite bag of holding.
Yeah. So, he leaves. Christopher Lloyd, like, sneaks in. Charlie here, he finds the ship. And, you know, he figures out the key, and he goes and gets in there. Now we get to the portrayal of video games in the 90s, as he comes to an arcade where a kid is clearly playing Afterburner. Like, no joke, it's Afterburner. And this four kids movie, where all the kids would recognize that that's Afterburner, they're trying to pass off as, like, fighting Dragos and some fucking... space game, like, just play Afterburner, just have him get,
I was,
like,
fucking insulted
PTSD from Afterburner, that get, you know, just the part, the game in that it's shitty draw distance in that level where you're flying so low that you're crashing into rock pillars that you can't see because the draw distance is so low, just have him play that and punch the and flip the cabinet over. But no, he beats the game, and the game smokes and sparks and puts up a white flag. And you're like, who?
And so did I at this point.
Yeah,
who? And he's like, the kid's like, you must play this game all the time. He's like, what game? Like, take it too seriously.
Yeah, like, none of that's funny. Like, so again, the mime's back. This time he's trying to climb up a ladder. So Hulk throws him onto a balcony. Meanwhile, Charlie's fucking around with Shep's stuff, and he finds a muscle enhancer that smashes his camera. The muscle enhancer gloves.
Joe calls it a muscle enhancer. It was a penis pump.
Later on we find out it's a groin destroyer. So
he filled the cup.
Yeah. So he finds his, like, X-ray specs and sees that, you know, it's close enough to the 80s that a woman is being sexually assaulted.
Sure.
So
in this movie for kids.
Yeah, not saying that, you know, sexual assault is still not a pervasive problem, but, like, if you went by 80s movies, it was how men reacted to women.
Well, yeah, it was every, like, three blocks that was happening.
Yeah, if you weren't the main protagonist of the movie,
you were a rapist.
And you were a dude, you were a rapist. Yeah.
You were a Tex Avery cartoon-style rapist.
Yeah. There were nice suburban areas where you lived, and then there was Rape Town.
Yeah. So, Charlie, he comes over, and he fucking fiddles around on the ground. He finds out he's bulletproof, but he's also can't really stand up. And now, it could have been remotely, like, in the neighborhood of humor if you used the I've fallen and I can't get up joke in this scene when he was trying to get up, but, like, no. So this guy...
Well, I mean, a woman was almost assaulted.
Yeah.
It would have been in poor taste to do a medical alert joke.
You know what was not in poor taste? Having him do the fucking worm. And then
so awful.
He's just thrashing around on the ground trying to stand up. Finally does. Fires his jump jet boots and launches over to the two criminals and knocks them down. The woman comes over and gives him a hug. and his codpiece starts like giving off warning signs and like lighting up.
He's getting
a techno boner. So
well, she was like, I'll, let me know if there's anything I can do. Mm-hmm. Anything.
Yeah. Oh, and then. Yeah, the scene's going by ride to hell rules, where if you save a lady from being sexually assaulted, she'll immediately sleep with you.
Right, because so, nothing turns a lady on more than that. So
now, this would have been funny if he gets home, he throws that wig at his wife.
Yes!
Yeah.
Also very much not for kids, but that would have been funny.
We see that Charlie has dropped some sort of activated piece of Shep's equipment here. And the bounty hunters, who are flying along in space and see the skateboard that has just been tossed from Hulk Hogan, and they see the power source turn on and zero in on it. They're going to Earth. So now, Rob, I'm very curious as to how you react to this next part, where he's doing more walking around like, oh, he's so clueless and so strong. And this montage starts off with a girl crying because her cat's stuck in the tree.
Mm-hmm,
and you can clearly see the laser pointer that's keeping the cat standing still in the tree.
And he gets bonus points for that. Yes.
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah. And then he, like, you can see it hitting the leaves underneath the cat. And then he bends, like, the tree down. And there's an obvious cat puppet on the tree.
Yep.
And the girl's like, that's not my cat. So he's like, fuck it, and let's go.
There he goes.
Yeah. How do you rate this one, Rob?
I enjoyed this thoroughly. This was my second favorite scene in the film. The paperboy being the third.
Yeah. Yeah, I had to say, I'm like, all right, the fact that we're launching the cat across the street, that's pretty cool.
And then he goes to a little fruit stand.
Yep.
Where actual living Yoda is there picking out fruits. And he just squeezes a melon and Bukkake's melon all over Yoda's face.
Correct.
I'm sorry, Tony. What's the sigh for? Was it Yaddle? Did I get the character wrong?
No, this scene is what the sigh is for.
Yeah.
Freaking Strega Nona.
We have to do, like, for out of nowhere, for no reason, we have to do the, how do you test a melon? You squeeze it. Oh, he's so strong, he popped it.
He's like, I found a good one.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure Hogan was like writing and directing this movie one scene at a time.
Yes.
So,
and then the mime's back.
Let's not even talk about this.
The mime just goes running off. Thank goodness.
Yeah. And he talks in every scene that he's in. Yeah. So, like, it might have actually held some comedic effect if, like, at the very last scene, like, if at the third time they interacted, he finally spoke and he was just like, get away from us! You know, he just flips out on Hulk Hogan or something like that. But no, he just talks in every scene and it's awful. Let's move on.
Goes back to his ship, sees that the bounty hunters are incoming and that his stuff's been fucked with. So he's like, oh, that Charlie, I'm going to get him. Goes to the office, right? Trying to get in the meeting with Charlie. The secretary, what's her name? Margie is like, take a seat. And this motherfucker goes and actually picks up the seat and brings it to her. And you're like, who proposed it? Who agreed to it? How did that joke get approved?
Somebody with a dead rabbit in their front overall pocket. That's who.
Yeah.
So, I laughed at that.
All right. Well, now we know who we're dealing with.
Yeah, all right. There we go.
Now, in my defense, not really, but like in high school, I got in trouble for talking to a friend of mine in class. And teacher was like, take your desk, you know, like take a seat up front. So I picked my desk over my head and I walked up to the front. And he was like, drop the desk. So I literally just dropped it from over my head. Oh my God. And he kicked me out of class.
Just file an order, dude.
That's the other thing. I would have given them more credit if she was like, yo, he's in a meeting. You need to take a seat. So if he went over, grabbed a seat, and then kicked in the door and went in anyway, I would have found that funnier. But just standing there with a fucking bench on his arm is like, hey, do you remember I'm a wrestler? I'm a big guy.
Well, but it's different. So, like, when Brian did that in his class, I bet you anything you gave the teacher that little shit-eating, I'm a little stinker face that you do sometimes.
You mean your face?
No. Your version of my face. But like, there's nothing like that with Hogan there. He's just like, she said, take a seat. I go take a seat.
All right, Charlie now, he's got to finish the blueprints for his building tonight, because I guess there's this big party going on there. So he leaves as the Japanese people are coming in, and Shep just grabs Charlie as soon as he walks out of his boss's room and slams him against the door. So Margie pulls out her Magnum and points it at Shep. And
The office gun, as we've mentioned before.
Right. Office gun, bathroom gun.
Yeah, usually the corporate pistol is kept in the boardroom, but you know, this guy likes to, you know, have backup, so he's got his secretary armed. Good call.
She likes them big. She likes them real big. So
he does. Mm-hmm. So now he's like, we gotta go find this piece of technology that you turned on. So they're like, all right, let's go to my car. And Charlie's putting his keys in the car to open it, and apparently that's not good enough for Shep, so he just rips the door off the car.
Which,
like, so impatient.
Yeah.
Well, it's also funny, because again, it's kind of a, I see what you're doing, but you didn't do it right, because it takes him just as long to pull this door off as it would have for him to unlock it.
Yeah.
So it's kind of ruins the whole effect.
So
now, this could have been, Charlie's can be an idiot sometimes, even though he's really smart, and let his keys in the car, in which case tearing it off would be a good, you know.
But it also would have worked if he was like, oh, I got, you know, he's going to unlock the door or whatever, and if Hulk Hogan just went over, like, punched his fist through part of the door and then ripped the door off and threw it in one swift motion, that would have been funny. Like, oh, we don't have time for this. But instead, he takes just as long to, you know, futz with the door till he can finally rip it off. And it's like, yeah, it kind of ruins the whole point.
So they go to the scene of Charlie's superhero gallivanting the night before. And that's when, just then, what's his name, Hulk decides, all right, I have a thing that could track my device down. Let's turn that on. It's straight up the PKE meter. Yep. Like, you're like, come on, movie.
I appreciate Charlie was like, why the fuck wasn't this used in the first place?
Yeah. So they got to go get his atomizer. So his atomizer's at a bank. And the bank, you know, outside of it, there is a frozen, in quotation marks, guard, who you can clearly see the actor has just been flocked. And then he can't even hold still. Like, he's holding the gun up and his arms are moving around. And then you go inside and they've flocked the entire, you know, inside of the bank. Everyone's frozen, but they're still moving around. And they're fucking playing like a cover of Jingle Bells as they go in there.
Yeah, what Jingle Bells though?
Sure.
You couldn't think of like just like Let It Snow?
Yeah. Walking.
Or, yeah, Winter Wonderland.
In a Winter Wonderland?
Alright, so fucking, it's the damn goons that he beat up the night before, and, you know, a fight ensues. One of them sprays the freeze ray right at Shep, who is drinking antifreeze, and that stops freeze guns, apparently.
It's a bottle of piss.
Yeah.
At this point, there are no fucks left.
Yeah. All right, so the bounty hunters blow a hole right through the wall into the vault after, Shep has taken out the two goons. And the two bounty hunters come in through the hole in the wall, and Shep just closes the vault door and locks it, you know, as you do. But it's like, you just blew a fucking hole in a vault wall. Like, you're going to get through that door, no problem. So he grabs Frozen Charlie as the bounty hunters do get out of the vault. And you see him driving down the road with a frozen Christopher Lloyd sticking out the top of the car. So back at the ship, Charlie wakes up and Shep is like, all right, I'm going to get out of here. I suck at goodbyes. So see you later. And then his ship, like the power coil catches on fire. So he's like, all right, I guess I'm not leaving. Sucks, because these bounty hunters are going to, like, tear your whole town apart. And it cuts to the two bounty hunters at Surfin' Burger. And the guy asks them if they want to order a dude burger. And you see they've commandeered someone's just married, like, honeymoon car. And I guess that's funny. They blow up the Surfin' Burger.
Yeah, I don't know what they were trying to do there.
Yeah. So now we cut to Shep and Charlie are having an argument in Shep's bedroom, which culminates in, you know, like this line is, it's been a meme and everything, but it's still, it's effective. They're going back and forth, and Charlie wins the argument by yelling, "I was frozen today." And that's it, argument over. Like, Shep's like, "Fine, okay, I'll go fight him by myself."
I mean, what can you even say to that?
Yeah, because Shep was like, "All right, here's the plan. You're going to put on my armor, and they're going to shoot you. This armor can take two direct hits, and hopefully by then I'll have taken them down." No wonder Charlie was like, "Yeah, I'm not doing that plan." So fucking Charlie's like, "All right, I'm going to go fight them on my own. You know, it's too bad, you know, we can't find any of these whatever crystals." And that's when Charlie's like, "Oh, my boss has a bunch of those crystals." And they're like, "Yeah. Oh, okay. Let's just let's just randomly slap tuxedos on and go to a gala." Because Hulk Hogan-sized tuxedos are just lying around.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's pretty
fast. So they go in there.
They got that.
Yeah. So they go in there, and Margie, the secretary, is putting the moves all over the Hulkster.
And, she likes them big.
She does.
She does.
And, like, you know, Hulk has a techno boner as well, because he's like, you know, Charlie's like, "Yo, we got to go. And, you know, we got to go up to the office." And he's like, "Why? I want to stay here." They use the x-ray specs to find that the crystals aren't in the office. They're in, like, the new wing that's being built. And we cut to Charlie's boss just being a douche to the Japanese people. And the bounty hunters arrive on the roof of the building. All right, so they go to the new wing, steal the crystals. Margie comes in with a gun again to try to stop them. And then the bounty hunters burst in and Charlie runs away, but freaking Shep sneaks up on them and hits them with a little piece of rebar so that the pistols fly out of their hands.
Like, he gets their attention first, which is the opposite of sneaking. Like,
Yeah.
And then, go ahead, Tony.
Oh, just like, I hate this kind of shit. Like, the, "Hey guys, look here," and then has enough time to hit both the things that, like, he was so fucking slow, they should have shot him.
I mean, and, like, Hulk Hogan can have a decent enough fight in a wrestling match that even if you had just done that, would have been good enough. And the Undertaker's the fucking Undertaker. Like, he could have had an awesome fight with him. But no, instead, like, this guy takes the pipe from Hulk, bends it, then hands it to the Undertaker, who straightens it. Then Hulk takes it, bends it into a bunny, and then, yeah.
And again, not even he bends it into a bunny, shows it to them, and then slaps them across the face with it. No, he then just throws that and attacks them by hand.
Yeah.
Why? Why did we do all that?
Because comedy. So he does a two-fisted, like, Hulk smash onto non-Undertaker bounty hunter. And non-Undertaker bounty hunter no-sells it, except the floor has been shattered, so that guy falls down. And then he fucking, like, hotwires the Undertaker's rocket boots. The Undertaker uses the rocket boots to spear him into a room full of office supplies. Spits some fucking, like, brass fasteners at the Hulkster. And then, like, the Hulk uses two paper clips to hotwire the Undertaker's rocket boots, so he goes flying up through a whole bunch of floors, and of course ends up in the ladies' room wearing a toilet on his head. And I know at 91 or whatever, I guess the Undertaker just debuted, so he really wasn't anything yet. But just to think of, like, all the things that the Undertaker did for Vince McMahon, and he had to go through this fucking walking around wearing a toilet on his head in this movie.
Well, that's the thing. I mentioned that because they filmed this before Undertaker was a thing, and I think the idea was Vince had it in his head that they're going to build up this villain so then we can bring the villain into the ring and have this whole cool thing. But then when he sees him have a toilet on his head and comes out and starts talking like he's got helium, he's like, "You know what? Never mind. This isn't going to work."
Well, yeah. So, like, what's the Undertaker's deal? Is it just, like, you know, is he just an ugly guy? He's got, like, a weird face. That way he's always wearing, like, the big cloaks and makeup and crap, or
what are you talking about in wrestling?
Yeah.
What?
He's a seven foot tall man that can do, like, moves that, like, cruiserweights can do, and he's just one of the greatest wrestlers ever. And he's just
Hold on, Joe. Like, Really, Rob? Uh-oh. Undertaker? Nothing? Really?
I'm ignorant of this. Undertaker was kind of past my time.
He's been. Sorry, I'm just, you
know. I have like my wrestling experience is like a half a year span.
Ryan, he knows as much about Undertaker as you do about Skyfire. Okay, let's just leave that alone.
Yeah, there you go. That's a good way of putting it.
There you go. It's just not my wheelhouse. I'm asking questions. I want to learn.
All right. So yeah.
Although you would think the name would tip off some things about him.
I get, like, I know he had the dude that Paul Bearer, like, I know that was his, like, his guy. Eric. I know things. I just, like, don't know the deal. I've never seen him wrestle.
All right.
The only way to fight ignorance is with knowledge.
That's true.
All right.
Don't steal up on my quest.
He's the guy that, you know, went, what was it? It was like 22 WrestleManias in a row winning each match.
So he's pretty good then.
He's a pretty good wrestler. We'll leave it at that. All right, so he's fighting this other goon now who, like, rips Hulk through the floor. And they fight into an elevator shaft. They go down to the bottom, and the other goon is just crushed by the elevator containing the Undertaker. So now the other goon's dead. And now Hulk's like, what is this, a tag team? We're wrestling. And then the Undertaker is ADR'd with a little kid voice. And rocket boot shenanigans ensue again. And basically, they're on a rolling table. Hulk grabs, like, a random stripper pole and does, like, a spinny around in a circle move. And then jumps off the table, propelling the Undertaker into a wall like a damn cartoon. There's just an Undertaker-shaped hole in the wall. And, And that's it for the bounty hunters. They're done for. So the boss, meanwhile, is left to explain the plans that he thinks that Charlie is going to get from his car. He's stalling for time and realizes he just has to explain it on his own. So he's like, all right, this building we're going to build for you, it's going to have floors, you know, one per level, and walls. And then it cuts away from that before that can get any worse. All right, so now...
Oh, but we'll come back in time for it to get much worse.
Yeah, I'm curious about Rob's thoughts on that scene. So we go back to the ship, and Shep's like, I'll charge the ship up. You just go back home and make sure that we didn't leave any tech behind. So he goes home, and you see Suter, his silhouette, breaks into the house, and Charlie comes home and, you know, gets his family, and his family's all happy that he's home. And everyone's hugging everyone. And then fucking, like, discount Uncle Fester. Discount Christopher Lloyd as Uncle Fester comes in the room and, like, kidnaps them all.
Mom, there's some bald theater douche in our house.
Yeah. So, all right. Now, he goes back to the ship, and he's got the family as hostages. And he's like, get out of here, Shep, so I can kill you. Shep tries to bluff him. This dude's like, uh-uh. You know, you care about people. So Shep's like, all right, I'm coming out. But he activates the self-destruct. So, like, sure, I guess. He really cares about these people.
Yeah, we're all going to hell tonight.
Yeah.
But I also, like, this guy comes in with the family, whatever, and he's like, you care about them or whatever. But he's always, like, standing in front of them.
Yeah.
So he's not using them as hostages or shields or anything.
And the ship has, like, a gun turret. And there's a clear shot to
Suter. Yeah, just shoot him.
All right, so fucking... Suter that lets the family go before, like, Shep drops his gun, and then Shep still drops his gun, and some terrible dialogue ensues. Charlie drops his family off at a gas station. He's like, go get some combos. I'm gonna fucking, you know, come back and save Shep. So terrible dialogue's ensuing as fucking Suter here is firing lasers near Shep and having a good time. So Charlie crashes his little fucking Festiva through the door to the club, and Suter fires the laser at this car several times, and the lasers bounce off a Toyota. Like, sure.
Yeah, why not?
Had it waxed, you know.
Yeah. Meanwhile,
It's not like we watched a gun like this earlier in the movie fire through a lamp, a wall, and then explode a car. No. This just bounces off the windshield. Why not?
So this dude runs over Suter, and then should we call it that? So now, like, where are we at? So now Suter, like, he runs Suter over, and he goes talks to Charlie, and then Charlie's like, "Oh, he's not done," because Suter comes out and transforms into the creature from the Black Lagoon, just straight up.
Yeah, just a goopy fish monster kind of a thing. It's not like, impressive or scary.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
they bought it at the Halloween store, and they sprayed it with some water, so it was wet looking.
It's actually not too bad for this movie. It's not
but
bad.
Like, it could have been worse.
He's super gangly looking. It's like he just looks like you could just beat him up. He looks like just a skinny guy in a fish costume.
He's adequate at best.
Well, my guess is this was left over from like the Guyver 3.
It's a Guyver sequel level creature costume. So fucking this guy's just beating the shit out of Shep. And
when we watched Guyver, I can't remember.
No, it's we have not. Yes,
not for this.
All right. And then fucking he hits Charlie. Charlie puts on the bionic arm and just grabs this lizard thing in the crotch. He's still Suter at this point, and then that's when Charlie gives him the ball grab and he becomes a lizard man.
Yeah.
So now after a bad fight, fucking Shep kills Suter by slamming him into the fuse box and turning on the funk. So, you know, the music's playing and whatnot as Suter dies. And then the self-destruct activates and the whole place blows up with, like, the stock explosion sounds. Like, the one that you hear from in every movie when something blows up.
Yep.
And then, like, that's basically it. Like, Shep saved Charlie on the way out. So now Jenny runs over to him as the cops show up and is like, "Oh, Charlie, you're my hero, but if you ever do that again, I'll kill you," and is banging Charlie's head off the concrete. Okay, calm down. So now it cuts to the next morning, and the boss is still talking to the Japanese about Godzilla movies. Was he factually correct, at least, Rob, about what he was saying?
So I don't remember. Do you have any...
I know part of it was because he said
I was pretty checked out by this point.
Yeah, it was something about how Milton Berle was, or no, not Milton Berle. Fuck, I can't remember his name now. Perry Mason guy was in the first Godzilla.
Raymond Burr.
Raymond Burr, thank you.
He was in the American release of the first Godzilla. Yes.
But and somebody else was in Mothra, but I don't remember.
I don't remember anybody else being in Mothra, but okay.
I just remember one asshole of a, like, criminal guy and the two girls that go, "Mothra!" So Charlie walks in, and, you know, the boss is like, "Oh, Charlie, explain your blueprints." And Charlie, like, beats the boss in the head with the blueprints a few times and quits. And now, could you have just, like, had the boss unfurl the blueprints and there be, like, a giant dick or something on there? You know, it's a kid's movie. It doesn't have to be a giant dick, but the blueprints are something stupid, like just a basic joke like that.
Yeah, maybe a frowny face or something.
Wasn't in the budget.
Quit. Yeah.
Oh, that would have been. Yeah, they could have just done that with some magic marker.
Yeah. So, fucking, he leaves and we cut to,
Do you think he was designing Nakatomi Tower?
Yeah. So, we cut to... Shep again, and he's rocking some sweet ass Zubaz pants.
Oh my god, those Zubaz.
I forgot that those existed.
Oof.
My brother still has some.
So he goes over to get an ice cream cone. The ice cream man runs in fear, as he should.
He met his wife wearing those, my brother.
Wow. Yeah.
How long ago was that, though?
Like, it was in the 90s, 80s.
Okay,
so that's fair. Like, those shits would attract the ladies then.
It's still a shock to see today.
And then, well, also, after you acquired the woman's attention, you could put her in there with you. So, as you run back to your, as you run her back to your cave to, put the ladies in.
If you're married, you just fill those suckers out.
Yeah. So... Oh, now we get some radical skateboard moves as he can do all these flips and whatnot.
Wanted to die.
Yep.
So hard.
He gives this kid like a future skateboard.
Well, the one thing I will also give them is I did kind of find it amusing when the kid was like, yeah, my mom could do that too.
Yeah.
I love the future skateboard. It's like, here you go, kid. It's obviously got some sort of rockets on it. And the kids just run away carrying it because it obviously is a prop and doesn't work.
Yeah.
Well, little do they know, it's that skateboard from the Dom DeLuise movie where he's the talking skateboard.
Oh, no!
I forgot what that one's called.
I believe that's just the skateboard kid.
Yeah, that's right. He is the skateboard kid.
But it also raised a lot of questions, because, like, if he has a skateboard, why was he so unfamiliar with it that he didn't know how to use it before?
For real? Well, his has 6 wheels. And not 4 wheels.
Oh,
well, I don't know.
That could have been the Undertaker skateboard, like he found it in his ship. I don't know.
Maybe. Okay.
All right. So now we get the girl crying about the cat again, and this time he accidentally catapults the girl. And you get like a Cabbage Patch Kid being shot through the air.
My favorite scene.
Yeah. This is the best.
It looks like somebody's clothes just full of leaves.
Yep.
Chuck them through the air.
It made me think of the girl on the seesaw that got hit by the skydiver that they tested on Mythbusters.
Yeah.
Which, Rob, if you have never seen that and you like puppet trauma, that's pretty much the best. So they go back to the roof of the building from the night before, and you see Shep's getting on the alien bounty hunter ship, and he's got Margie with him, and he's just taking her to space, and he parts ways with Charlie.
Figured someplace, all right.
And because, the family.
Yeah, we got to show that he is not gay, so he took a lady with him.
Taking him to Red Lobster.
Well, he's going to relax a little bit, which he's had trouble with. So he parts ways with Charlie with a firm handshake. And then the movie ends basically with the stoplight gag, except this time, Charlie, not only is he brave enough to pull through the light, but he's also brave enough to destroy government property with a goddamn laser rifle.
He's brave enough to put on his own little show of falling down.
Yeah. Wait, how many people did he kill that now that intersection is disabled?
He's so brave.
Fuck cross traffic. Well, let's go, guys.
Like, that also appears to be a highway entrance where people will be going fast.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. Like, I get what they're trying to pull with that, but like, wow, man, that's irresponsible. And then the credits roll. Movie over.
Skibbly dibbly doop blamp. That's a movie. We're going to take a quick break, maybe, and then we'll come back with our final thoughts. Break.
Give me something to break. I want something to break.
There, that was our Limp Bizkit interlude.
Like
welcome back.
Fucking chainsaw.
Everybody.
I'll skin your ass raw.
Hope you all had a minute to go grab a Faygo out of the fridge.
Faygo.
Jesus.
And then put
Fred Durst.
Get a
wrong
comb,
band, I think. But...
Get a comb hopelessly lost in your white guy dreadlocks.
Jesus.
Tony.
You know what's funny?
Yes.
Hold on. Because like I said before, I'm watching a movie in the background as we record whatever.
Well, I know it's not the movie that's funny.
It is. Like, this is just where he shoots the stoplight.
Mm-hmm.
He shoots the stoplight facing the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't even shoot the one that he ran.
He's out to kill all stoplights now.
Yeah.
He's got a vendetta.
It's only a matter of time with the fact that his car's missing a door and now he has a laser pistol. That he's just going to be driving around firing that out the side of the car at every stoplight that turns red.
They put it on a light post, you know, facing the wrong direction for him to shoot it.
Mm-hmm.
Because the side of the road he's on, there wouldn't be one there facing it in the wrong way. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. God,
it's fucking weird
as fuck. This movie's so dumb. This movie is so dumb.
Well, I was going to give it highest ratings until Brian found that one flub. Stoplights?
That ruined the rating for me now.
Where we're going, we won't need stoplights. To jail. All right, what did Rotten Potatoes have to say about this Rotten Potato?
So, on RottenPotatoes.com, critics gave this score of 15%. Audience gave this a score of 32%. Let's... Yeah, what's your thoughts and opinions on this, Brian?
This movie is shit. Like, I was so bored watching this movie. Like, because nothing was, there was no, like, there's no stakes in anything happened in the movie. There's no real draw to, like, keep me, you know, watching. Maybe if I was a kid again, maybe I'd find some shit interesting, but nothing grabbed me at all, this movie. It was, like, fucking boring. Like, there's no good fights. There's, like, no, it's nothing. The dialogue is ass. You know, like, sorry. Like, I it's a big, it's a no for me, dog.
All right, Rob.
Yeah, it's terrible. Like Brian said, there's like no stakes in this movie. They show the main bad guy in the beginning of the movie, but he doesn't actually do anything. He's just there. And then there's these bounty hunters, but they're just there. They don't actually do anything. There's no stakes. There's no reason for me to care about anyone or anything in this movie. It's literally just a series of random scenes thrown together. And it was so boring. I checked the time stamp on this, like, 5 times while I was watching it. And yeah, that's a definite nope for me.
Yeah.
Dog.
I'm going to say the same. Like, I did find this somewhat better than Mr. Nanny, but it's
not that much.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Cause like, you know, you didn't have the stupid little, you know, kid protagonist shit. Like, the kids were just not present. Instead you had Christopher Lloyd, but you wasted him. And you have Hulk Hogan, who is a wrestler, and yet all the fight scenes, which there aren't many of, are so dull. And it's like, it's the level of which you would watch in a wrestling match, which is acceptable when it's live, but when you're filming something, you can edit that to make it look better, and they don't. And it's just disappointing and stupid. So, it's somewhat watchable, so maybe in a so bad it's good with your friends, but even that, it's not really worth it. It's just blah. So, yeah, not recommending this. Joe?
Did you guys hear the fart that I did in the middle of Brian's review? Did that show up on the recording?
Yeah, a little bit.
I was talking.
Oh, it was pretty light. I was going to submit that as my review, but... All right, so this movie tried so hard, went nowhere.
It got so far.
And in the end, it didn't even matter.
Yep.
Yeah, this, like, it just sucks. Like, it's not Mr. Nanny bad, but it just sucks. Like, I mean, other than the I Was Frozen Today, which, I mean, that has kind of run its course anyway, there was nothing in this movie was any good. And that was just purely by accident that line ended up taking off. So, like, it just sucks. I really can't make any sort of intelligent remarks about it. It just sucks. I would say that if I have to recommend a movie and you want a people from space fish out of water kind of story, Star Trek IV.
Mac and Me.
Mac and Me was better than this movie. Sad as that is. No, but like Star Trek IV is a good movie where you have some aliens walking around the 80s and hilarity ensues.
Sure.
That's the one with Goldblum, right? Earth Girls Are Easy?
Yeah.
And Jim Carrey and Damon Wayans.
Yeah, that one.
How could you go wrong? I don't. As far as this whole Mr. Nanny or Suburban Commando thing, it's like asking if you'd rather have somebody pee in your hair or shit on your chest.
Like, I'd rather get pee in my hair because it'll wash out mad easy.
But it could go in your eyes. What if it goes in your eyes? What if you get piss in your eyes and your mouth?
But I'd rather watch Mr. Nanny because, like, with Sherman Helmsley, with their maid. There's a couple scenes in there that like are fucking that I for real laughed at. I laughed at nothing in this movie, like nothing.
Yeah.
This movie had nothing for me.
That's true.
All right. Can we just do a quick rundown so far on Will's torture rack of movies that he's put us through? How are they falling, Tony? How do you rank them so far of the four?
Of the four,
yeah.
Goon's got to be number one.
Mm-hmm.
Then. I forgot Mom and Dad Save the Universe or Save the World. Maybe that's number two. Close Call on Suburban Commando and Mr. Nandy, because like it was just said, it's shit on your chest or piss in your hair. So, you know, whatever. Flip a coin. I don't know.
Gotcha. All right. That's your order too, Brian.
Anyone else?
Oh, yeah, my it's firmly Goon, Mom and Dad, Mr. Nanny, this movie, firmly.
Yeah. Like. All right. Rob?
So mine is Mom and Dad.
Yeah.
Mr. Nanny. Goon, and then this one.
Wow. See,
oh, so we, I guess we are all different. So mine's Mom and Dad, then the Goon, then Suburban Commando, then Mr. Nanny.
And like
and Mom and Dad by a large margin.
Goon just hit me wrong. I don't know what it is. That's fine. Just did not like it at all.
I feel like they all, I mean, maybe not so much Goon, but the other three pretty much fit our podcast format. For like
they do,
yeah. Trying to watch, like, it was pretty. Like
they do.
They're right in that. Like they're a little low. Like this one was maybe a failure movie. You know, this would have been one that we would have rolled a one for. But it's in the wheelhouse 15%. Of like shit that we watched.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, because see, for like,
I think it is on our shit list, isn't it?
Maybe.
Not anymore.
But yeah, it's tough because like I know for me it's. Goon, I know, is a better made movie, and I appreciate that, but I do know Mom and Dad, I'm probably more likely to watch again before I watch Goon, so there are some weird ones in there like that.
We'll see after next week's submission, or next episode's submission.
Yep.
And we finish the Will torture rack of movies.
Yeah, that'll be the end of the Will submitted 2-month gauntlet. Extravaganza.
We need a palate cleanser. So, yeah. Like, when it's time for us to pick, y'all pick something good.
All right.
I'll pick what I want.
Or you go full on trash and do the whole like Belvedere of Coca-Cola. To cleanse your palate, like the full on disgusting shit, but that's right. Belvedere is the one, right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
The Italian soda was a Belvedere.
I don't remember.
It's got, doesn't it like Barbara or something?
It starts with the B at the Coke station at Disney.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I have no idea.
I can't remember what soda that is, but it's
Beverly.
That's it, Beverly.
All I can think of Belvedere is sitting on your balls.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
That's what I pictured. I was thinking of Mr. Belvedere just like housing a bunch of Coca-Colas. And I'm like, wait a minute, what the hell? Or doing lines of Coke while he sits on his balls. Wesley.
Oh.
I'm tripping balls here, Wesley.
Gentlemen, we need to end this.
That is all we have for this episode. I need, oh boy. I need my computer to open up things faster so that I can get all the information that I have to read. Guys, we want to thank you so very much for listening. As always, we want to thank our sponsor, William, for torturing us for these past 4 episodes and into the future. Ad infinitum. And then. For our episode archives, you should check us out at www.4ampodcast.podbean.com. You can of course support us by picking up some merchandise at teespring.com/4ampodcast. If you want to help support the podcast and get some access to sweet patrons only content, check us out at patreon.com/4ampodcast. You can check out our review of the Netflix War for Cybertron series there, and we've got some more stuff coming soon, so stay tuned. Also, we have our buy Rob some Legos contest, so you should definitely check that out. If you want to contact us, you can do so at the4ampodcast@gmail.com. You can of course follow us on Twitter or Facebook at 4ampodcast. And that is it. Oh, for those of you uninformed, yes, during our Transformers episodes, we did call out our patrons to send in PayPal money to buy me a Lego set. I don't remember why. There was a reason.
Okay.
There was a reason.
The reason is Rob wants it.
Oh, it's just whatever.
Oh, okay.
Depends on how much money they send in. So far, it's zero, so it's not going to be a big one. That's it. Anybody else got anything?
I was frozen today.
I have a palate cleanser for you right here.
All right, we get to listen to Tony play Animal Crossing or whatever the hell that is.
Oh no.
The fuck is this?
That's Hulk Hogan, baby.
This is Hulk Hogan singing whatever the it's like his little brother dies or some nonsense. Hulkster yes. in heaven or some crap.
Yes. Wow.
Turn this shit off before you have to pay me money.
For real. You've already... Oh boy, I had something I was gonna say too, and now I can't even remember because that totally killed my brain.
I'm saying deuces.
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah.
Bye, guys.
Good night, everybody.